Dear Heavenly Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus, the name that is above all principality and power, the name for whom all things were created, that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, the name of the one for whom all things were created and by whom all things were created, the name of the one who is the head of the body, the church. May he have the preeminence in all things. May his name be uplifted by this radio show in the days ahead. Please guide through the leading of the Holy Spirit my teaching and preaching to that end, that you may be glorified. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. My name is Gerald Finney. I'm an attorney and I'm saved. I know many of you probably believe that's an oxymoron, a saved attorney. Some of you probably think of that old story of the man who was walking through the graveyard and he saw a tombstone that read, "Here lies a lawyer and an honest man." And he thought to himself, "I thought it was illegal to bury two men in one grave." Well, let me assure you, I am an attorney and I am saved. Some of you are probably thinking, well, if he is an attorney and he really is saved, that just proves that principle in the Word of God that says, God will save anyone who will come to him as a hopeless, lost sinner with a contrite spirit and trust Jesus Christ as his Savior. To tell you the truth, I don't know if a lawyer can get saved because I was not a lawyer when I got saved. I was saved in 1982 in a tent revival at a fundamental Baptist church in Fort Worth, Texas. At that point in my life, I was not an attorney. But God threw me directly into some turmoil regarding a boys' home, which we had begun with our own money there at the church about a year or two after I got saved. During that battle, God dealt with my heart about the need for men who were saved going into the legal profession for the glory of God. As a result of that calling, I entered the University of Texas School of Law in 1990, got my degree in 1993, and began practicing law for the glory of God. That's been my goal all along the way. In 2005, I began to work with the Biblical Law Center, which helps churches to organize as New Testament churches under God only, not under the state in any manner, not incorporated, non-501c3, and so forth. Churches can operate like that in America without persecution, and mainly because of the First Amendment to the United States Constitution. This is a ministry with me. I'm not trying to make money. My goal is the glory of God, and my motivation is love for our wonderful Savior. I have spent a whole lot more in this ministry than I have taken in from the sale of books and seminars. I do charge for the books I've written, but again, I have not made any profit on those sales. I pay for this program with my own funds. I can do so because of the very generous rates offered by Liberty Works Radio Network in their goal of returning America to the status of one nation under God. On this broadcast, I will be laying the foundation for future programs on this second trip around. You see, I've already been through the subjects I'm going to discuss once. I was given the opportunity to do the broadcast and had only a few days to acquire the needed equipment, learn how to use it, and prepare for the first broadcast. It took me several months just to get oriented. For at least some time, I will be airing newly recorded broadcasts, which will hopefully have better audio quality than the shows aired the first few months. I will be starting at the beginning again. This show deals with vital biblical doctrines, doctrines that have been neglected. The issue dealt with on this show is church and state law. Although that is the issue everything will be directed toward, I will necessarily have to deal with many other biblical issues in order to understand church and state law. For example, I'll have to deal with salvation, the Holy Spirit, the biblical principles regarding governments, and that is individual, family, church, and state governments. And I will have to deal with the application of those principles by individuals, families, churches, and civil government. To understand the history of the First Amendment and the First Amendment Supreme Court jurisprudence concerning separation of church and state, and the issues concerning the union of church and state through incorporation, corporation sole, unincorporated association, charitable trust, and 501c3, a person must first understand what God teaches concerning governments, including church government. And he must also understand what God teaches concerning separation of church and state. I cannot interact with you on this show. However, if you go to the website churchandstatelaw.com, churchandstatelaw.com. There you will find a contact button which tells you how to contact me. As much as I can, I will respond to your inquiries. A good way to help with the issues I will deal with on this broadcast is to go to churchandstatelaw.com. churchandstatelaw.com. On that website, churchandstatelaw.com, are all the resources you need to understand the issues from a biblical perspective. On the blog page of churchandstatelaw.com are links to many articles and audio teachings. On the radio broadcast page are links to all the audio teachings I present on LWRN Radio, so that you can go to a subject you want to study. For example, suppose you wish to get more information on incorporation of churches, exactly what it is. Scroll down the radio broadcast page and you will find audio teachings on that subject. In the books section, you will find links to online bookstores for many of the books listed on that section or on that page, including my books. You may order two of my books from Amazon.com, Zuline Press, and BarnesandNoble.com. And you can do that through links on the books page of churchandstatelaw.com. In the books the Lord has led me to write, you will find answers to all the questions concerning the issues involved with separation of church and state. You will find the biblical principles and the American application and misapplications of those principles. You will find facts about history and the law. For example, I explain exactly what incorporation and 501c3 of churches is, how those devices violate biblical principle, and so forth. You can also order the books directly from Kerygma Publishing Company at a very reasonable price, below retail and just above what they cost me to have printed. If you order all four, you will save even more. To understand these preeminent principles requires a believer to put a lot of time and study, led by the Holy Spirit of God as he meditates on the lessons taught in God's Word. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." We are in the shape we are in America because of religious heresy and apostasy, because preachers first, then believers, have not studied and applied God's Word. Let me say that I have probably put a minimum of 15,000 to 20,000 hours in studying these issues that I deal with on this program. You don't have to spend that kind of time. I have put my findings in my writings and in my audio teachings. And if you think that I'm trying to get rich from this work, then let me suggest that you go to the audio teachings. They won't cost you a dime. Listen in to these radio broadcasts. Go to churchandstatelaw.com. Go to the blog page. There you will find an outline of audio teachings which you can go to. You can go to the radio broadcast page of churchandstatelaw.com, where you'll find more audio teaching on all of these issues. So it doesn't have to cost you anything. But believe me, I have bought many, many, many books in my studies. I don't mind spending a little money in order to glorify God. But if you think I'm going to try to get rich off this, don't spend a dime. But let me encourage you to start studying these issues. The Bible lays down preeminent principles for individuals, families, churches, and civil governments. Church and state law is primarily concerned with, 1, the biblically ordained principles regarding the relationships between church and state, God and church, and God and state. And 2, the application of those principles by churches. To understand those God-ordained relationships, a believer must first learn the biblical principles for each type of government, its God-given jurisdiction, the relationship God desires each to have with Him, and the relationship of each with each of the others, including the relationship He desires between churches and civil government or state. Once a believer understands the foundational law and precepts in the Word of God, he must, in order to glorify God, gain a good knowledge of history and law in light of Scripture in order to be able to fight the spiritual warfare against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. He must put on the whole armor of God, which includes the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Again, my goal and the goal of this program is to glorify God. God is glorified when we follow His instructions for the individual, the family, the church, and then civil government. The beginning is with the individual. Before any individual can glorify God, he must be born again. Jesus answered and said unto him, that is Nicodemus, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." John 3:3. We read in John 3:5 through 8, Jesus answered, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit." Let me also encourage you to read John 3, verses 14 through 21. I'm not going to read all those verses. John 3:36 says this, "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him." Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." "But God commandeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us," we read in Romans 5:8. Romans 10:9 through 10 and 13 says this, "That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Ephesians 2:8 through 10 says, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." Acts 4:12 says, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." No one can do anything of any lasting good in this world if they are not a child of God, if they are not saved. You become a child of God when you get saved. If you have not trusted Christ as your Savior, let me encourage you right now to come to God with a repentant heart and trust Jesus Christ to save you from your sins. If you will do that, God will give you a new nature. At the point of salvation, the Holy Spirit will come to live in you. You will have a new nature, and you can begin to study the Word of God, to go to a Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church to get the benefit of the insights of the man of God. You can start to study the Word of God yourself, and you can begin to learn God's principles for individuals, for married couples, men and women, man and woman, for families, for churches, and for nations. At that point, you can begin to learn what you need to do to bring America back under God. If you are not saved, you cannot hope to have any lasting influence in this spiritual battle that we're involved with. And let me say, it has to begin with our churches, not with America. It must begin with our churches. If we cannot get our churches right, we cannot get America right. If we cannot get our individuals right, we cannot get our families right. If we can't get our families right, we can't get our churches right. And if we cannot get our churches right, we cannot get America right. In the segment after the break, I'm going to deal with after salvation, after you get saved. What are your responsibilities? What are you to do after you get saved? You see, we don't get saved just to live a happy life. We get saved to glorify God. And we glorify God by doing things His way. After the break, I'll be teaching on the Christian's responsibility after salvation. If you're enjoying this show and you value the information you're hearing, please go to www.lwrn.net and make a donation. The more donations received, the faster we can spread across these United States with a message of freedom. All donations will go to Liberty Works Radio Network.